from the KSRO greenhouse over to the KSRO kitchen with me, Steve Garner, and Chef John Ash. We just had a nice slurp of coffee.
It looked like. No, water.
Oh, it was water.
Yeah.
You already had your coffee for the morning.
One a day.
What? Well, we did something because we are who we are, and we do things a little differently on this show, and that is this, and I don't know any other radio station that has ever done something like this, but that's what makes us unique, is last year, around December, we tried an apple that we learned was the most expensive apple ever produced in America, and the first one wholly produced in the state of Washington. And it was called the Cosmic Crisp. It had been in development for some 20 years and cost some $10 million in development. And it was debuted on December 1st night of 2019. Mm. And a couple weeks later, we debuted the apple on the show with the creator, Bruce Babbitt, from upstate in Washington. And at that point, we decided, gee, one of the things that it's noted for was for its longevity, its improved shelf life. And John and I, after the show, said, wouldn't it be fun if we put one of these apples in our refrigerator? And in 6 months, we tested it and invited Bruce back to see whether it was standing the test of time. And we did this back in May, June of this year. Now we've reached over 1 year that this apple has been in cold storage. It's been in my refrigerator since December, which has survived 9 days of evacuation with no power, plus three other PG&E power outages. And the apple appears to be in great shape. And joining us for this final reveal is the creator of the Cosmic Crisp, Bruce Babbitt. Bruce, thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Steve, and good morning, John.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. This is going to be fun.
Now, Bruce, what I did not know until moments ago, John told me, you know, I also have a Cosmic Crisp in my refrigerator. You didn't ever told me that you've had one all this time.
Yeah. I was going to cut it up to make an apple crisp. And then I thought, no, I should probably wait, you know, just in case. I don't know.
So, Bruce, have there been other Cosmic Crisps in cold storage for over a year? And have you tried them after a year?
Oh, yes. It's a big surprise when you trot out an apple and you ask someone to eat it, and then you tell them it's a year old. Or when you trot out an apple out of cold storage, but you give them a fresh one that was picked that day, and they can't really tell the difference. Mm,
just remarkable.
That's remarkable. That's remarkable for an apple. It makes it so much easier to market as well, because people know that they're going to get the same product all the time, the same quality all the time.
Well, as we learned, it was a cross between the Honeycrisp and Enterprise, as you mentioned that to us over the last couple times, for the skin color and the flesh and the improved shelf life and the acidity and the sweetness. All these things came into play as you decided which were the two best apples to cross.
Yeah, we selected those because they had really good traits. And it turned out that we probably got the best of both of them. Consumers certainly are saying so.
So can I ask you, there's an apple variety that I love a lot, which is also a great keeper. And I wonder if you considered it as part of the parentage of this apple. And that's an Arkansas Black?
I know of the variety. I don't think I've ever eaten it. Mm. It actually is a parent of another relatively new variety as well. The problem with most of the older varieties is that they just didn't store well enough. Mm-hmm. And so they couldn't keep them in the market long enough. And so Arkansas Black just never made it commercially. And we did not use it as a parent. Mm.
So this apple was developed at the Washington State University over a 20-year period of time. There's now, I understand, some 12 or 13 million trees planted. Is it only at Washington State orchards?
Yes, at the moment, for a 10-year advantage, the Washington growers tax themselves to fund research, and it was just appropriate that they get a 10-year head start on other growers. But within 10 years, well, 7 years now, others will be able to plant it as well. But Washington growers deserved an advantage like that.
Great. Have the apples already been picked for 2020?
Oh, yes. Yep. Everything's in cold storage. The release date is December 1.
Again.
So your timing is very good. If you could have just waited two more weeks, you would have been right on. But anyway,
so when,
no problem.
Can I ask you, when you say cold storage, does that also mean no oxygen, or do you use nitrogen to store them in, or does that matter?
Yes, it does matter. There's something called, there's regular cold storage. In other words, 33 mm-hmm. degrees in good high relative humidity. That's typical storage. But you can improve the condition of the apples if you reduce the amount of oxygen in the storage room and increase the CO2. So the apples basically hibernate. Mm-hmm. They go into hibernation, and so they don't deteriorate. They don't respire. They don't use up all their sugars and acids, and so they retain their good quality.
And can you do that with any apple? I mean, will they be improved by?
Oh yeah, they basically all apples today, if they're going to be stored till at least January, February. From that point on, they're almost all in controlled atmosphere storage. Yep,
just remarkable. Of course, in the average consumer's refrigerator like mine, it cycles on and off every 15, 20 minutes, and the temperature variation is
You don't have nitrogen?
No, I don't. So if it can survive in my refrigerator through all these power outages and evacuations, it's going to do well in most other refrigerators too. So, John, are we ready to slice
this? We can do it. I just want to point out, and I don't think it's the apple's fault. I think it's probably your home storage thing. There's one little soft spot here that I bet it got dropped on the floor.
It might have. It wouldn't be. It must have been Mrs. Garner that did that. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure.
Before you jump in and eat it, let's think about the things we're going to try to notice.
Okay.
One is it still sweet? Mm-hmm. Another is, has it got its tartness still? This is an apple that retains its tartness, and tartness is the character of the apple. So we want to see if it's still got some of that tartness. It usually gradually declines in storage. But then, really important, is it still firm, is it still crisp, and is it still juicy? So those are the measurements we're going to make as you guys chomp into these things.
Okay, I just cut it, and it definitely is still juicy, because you can see it.
And great texture, very firm.
And really firm.
So if we can just observe a moment of silence while we both bite into the apple. Here we go. Wow.
Mmm.
It's great.
It's amazing.
So,
well, that's good.
So, Bruce, was
for
this...
me, I took a virtual bite, and it was good, too.
Bruce, was this apple harvested last September, October 2019?
Yes, it would have been probably the end of September. Yep.
So it's now...
That's a year and 6 weeks.
And now, someone asked me before the show, said, is this a GMO apple?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not. These apples are produced by hybridizing existing varieties. You mentioned Honeycrisp and Enterprise. So it's entirely natural. There's been no genetic modification whatsoever in this apple.
So what's the longest time you've got these in storage? Could we keep them another year?
Maybe John can keep his in the refrigerator. We'll have you back in a year.
Yes.
What do you think, Bruce? How long?
Well,
has there been any...
We'd like to encourage people to put apples in refrigerators, because when they get them, they'll just keep longer if they're in a refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Let the professionals with the big cold storage units where they can put them in controlled atmosphere, let them handle the storage. And so that whenever you buy an apple, it is a darn good assurance that it's going to be very good. I'm not sure everyone's refrigerators are quite as good as yours. Mm. Or, this is really pretty unusual what you've done here. And I'm glad it worked. But, to really be sure that we get the best quality, you put your apples in refrigerators, but not forever.
So, Bruce, should John keep his apple in the refrigerator for another year and you come back next October, November 2021, and we'll see whether it's lasted 2 years. Do you know if it'll last 2 years?
I have no idea, but I don't know that we need to do that test. The other question I would have asked, if I'd seen the apples at least, would have been, was there any shrivel?
No.
No.
None.
Some apple varieties because the humidity isn't very high in the cold storage, they tend to start to shrivel, lose their moisture. And I think all apples do that, but if those didn't, you probably had them in the crisper section, which is where I recommend people put their apples.
Bruce, I had them in the crisper section, and I also had the apple in a Ziploc bag.
Ah, okay.
To retain moisture also. I did that for the last 6-8 months.
Yes, well, that way, also, you did what the cold storage people do, is you reduced the oxygen as well. Because it used up a little oxygen, which they naturally do, but there wasn't any new oxygen coming in.
So
you helped it by putting in the bag.
A quick question for you. One of the things that we love apples for is that they help other fruit ripen, because they give off ethylene gas. Does that have anything to do with...
Yes, ethylene is a universal ripening hormone. It's pretty much in all fruit. And it's what makes, a green tomato go to a red tomato, for example. But it also, with an apple, if you put an apple in the fridge that's got a green or greenish background, and there's a lot of ethylene around, it'll turn a yellow background. And that's just how apples ripen. Mm.
Well, it's another remarkable accomplishment. Horticulturalist Bruce Barrett, who developed this Cosmic Crisp apple, took him 20 years, debuted last December, and we're trying it after 1 year, and it's still, you say, John, like it was picked yesterday.
I agree with you. If you gave this to somebody, they would think it's fresh picked apple.
Thank you so much, Bruce. This has really been a fun journey that we've taken with the Cosmic Crisp.
Well, I thank you. I've enjoyed it, and I hope when the new ones are in the stores that you'll eat some more and maybe talk about them on the radio.
We will. Thanks again. Wonderful talking with you.
Right, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bruce Barrett from up there in British Columbia, where he's living now, having spent his career at Washington State University in hybridizing fruit.
So let me ask you a question. I have seen so many new varieties of apples on the market. I guess I probably should have asked Bruce, where are all of those coming from?
That's a good question.
You know, names I've never heard of and all of that.
Doesn't it seem like every week there's a new
one? And I've been trying them like crazy, and some I like better than others, but this is a good one.
This is a good one. It's a keeper.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. Lots of great listening in store for you, including a look at a landmark cookbook by Chef John Ash and how a lot of these recipes inspired a menu that's presently in place at John Ash & Company. A little bit later in the show, we'll talk with Heidi Diestel. The Diestel family recently purchased Willie Bird Turkey, and we'll find out what changes, if any, they're going to make in this landmark Sonoma County agricultural product. One of you, a little later in the show, are going to win their very own Diestel holiday turkey.
KSRO is online at KSRO.com. Streaming powered by Hudson Street Design, a Healdsburg Lumber company.
Friedman's Home Improvements Pro Tool Sales and Deals is on now through November 22nd. Save on tools and accessories from Milwaukee, DeWalt, Makita, Skill, Bosch, Honda, and more. We are committed to serving our customers the safest way we can, which includes bringing some of your favorite parts of Pro Tool to you online. Check out our live chats with vendor reps, Friedman's favorite videos, and more at friedmanshome.com/Pro Tool. These sales and deals only happen once a year, so visit our website at friedmanshome.com/Pro Tool to learn how you can save through November 22nd. Friedman's in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, Sonoma, and Ukiah. Friedman's Home Improvement. Find what you need and more. See store for complete details.
Take a fall staycation at the Inn at the Tides in Bodega Bay with low midweek rates. Less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa and sitting right on the water with gorgeous views of the bay, the Inn at the Tides is open and certified safe. Every room has its own entrance and are cleaned according to Sonoma County's Safe Travel Promise. Masks and social distancing are cheerfully implemented and required. The health of their guests and staff are very important to the management of the Inn at the Tides. Enjoy outdoor dining overlooking the bay at the Tides Wharf Restaurant, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily from 8 to 8. Take advantage of their fall special, midweek rates starting at $1.99 a night plus tax. Enjoy a complimentary bottle of wine upon arrival and complimentary breakfast in the morning. Each room has a view of the bay, and all guests have access to the heated indoor-outdoor pool. Tell your smartphone to call the Inn at the Tides in Bodega Bay and ask for the fall special. Atlas Pavers, winner of the 2020 Bellegarde Patio of the Year, is ready to get your outdoor living space done by spring. Reserve now and get a complimentary outdoor fire pit valued at $1,500. Atlas Pavers will deliver a free 3D design and rendering. COVID safety regulations followed.
Donating 3% of every job to Neighborhood Fire Relief. Call 707-204-0255 or online at atlaspaversco.com.
Atlas Pavers. There's no place like home.
You like your burger medium well, your peanut butter crunchy, and your mattress firm. It's the little things that make you, you. And you deserve a Medicare plan that fits your unique needs. That's why United Healthcare is offering more plan options than ever, so you can find just the right plan for you. Call 1-800-362-8715. That's 1-800-362-8715 to get Medicare with more. Remember, Medicare annual enrollment ends December 7th.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the Chaos Arto Kitchen, Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. And we want to welcome another chef to the Good Food Hour, and that is Chef Thomas Schmidt. Hi, Thomas. Thanks for joining us today.
How are you doing, Steve and John?
Good. We're doing good. So you're gearing up for Thanksgiving, huh?
That's true. Yeah, we're going to be busy again. Not as busy as usual, but we shall be busy. We've got, a lot of indoor... or not indoor, I said covered spaces, I should say.
Yeah.
Where people can, eat in the free, so to say. So it should be nice.
Was this the first or second most busy day in a restaurant, John and Thomas? Was Mother's Day the busiest day?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. Huh?
Mother's Day usually, yeah, and then Thanksgiving.
Okay. And so have you sold out the sit-down portions for your Thanksgiving meal?
We don't have everything covered. So if it rains, we're good. Now we're full. But if it's sunny like today, then we can take more.
Okay,
so and we have a good waiting list, and we're also doing Thanksgiving to go. We decided to do that. So we're doing packages of four or for eight people. Turkey with a salad, appetizer turkey with the trimmings, and a pumpkin pie that Chef Casey makes.
So how do you? The to-go part of it is always interesting to me. How do you decide what should be in it? And then how do you instruct people to handle it once they get it home?
Well, I'm going to make it that it's all ready to go, but they have to heat it up.
Okay.
So it'll be all prepped, everything. The turkey will be pre-roasted. Just you have to heat it back up. The stuffing, I make my mother's recipe with the giblets and the liver and all that good stuff, and then celery and sage. And that'll just be to bake in the oven. And then we'll have mashed potatoes, and we'll have carrots and a salad to be mixed. It will all be with instructions how to do it, all set up. So you just need to take it home. It's like reading a cookbook and just put it together and then serve it for four or for eight people or for 12. It's in packs of four. So it's it should be good. We decided to do that because we know that a lot of people, we usually do like 500 people, and we can maybe take 150, 200 this year. So a lot of people will want to have a turkey dinner at home and not go out with COVID going on.
So can I ask you, what turkey are you using? What turkey did you decide to buy this year?
We're using this year a distill up in the Sonora area.
Uh-huh.
We were using Bill Nyman's turkeys, who lives out in Bolinas, but he, because of COVID, he had a problem with his production this year, so he's not doing any this year. But otherwise, these distill are really great ones from up free range up in the Sonora area.
Well, I don't know if you know or not, Thomas, but our next guest following you is Heidi Distel.
Oh, well, look at that.
And we didn't know that you used digital turkeys. You know what really popped out for me, John, out of the whole menu? I love it all, but homemade Parker House rolls. Mm-hmm. Something I just don't
they're
do.
Good.
They're really good. Now, besides the Thanksgiving dinner to go, which people can, when is the cutoff for that, to order that, Thomas?
Well, we have to see. I mean, we have a good amount of portions, and at the moment, we're waiting till the Monday, or I should say, I think it was a Friday before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And if we've sold out of what we've, you know, decided to order to have delivered, I possibly can get more in on the following Tuesday to have it prepped for Thursday.
Okay, so another question for you. It's a lot of turkeys to roast. How do you do it?
Yeah.
Do you start a few days ahead?
We're lucky to have our events in our kitchen. So, John, you've seen that before when you've been there. We have, you know, I need two huge convection ovens and four more smaller convection ovens on the line. So we have plenty of space there. It'll all come out of our events in our kitchen because the John S. kitchen will be, you know, busy prepping up for Thanksgiving itself and putting it out all day long. So it shouldn't be that problem. We're used to doing, you know, 400 or 500 people out of the events in our kitchen, no problem. So this will be all, you know, prepare. We know what we need to make. It's only certain things. It's not like we're doing a whole, you know, whole bunch of different items like in the restaurant. So it'll be good. We have enough people for that.
We also noticed that you're doing a Dinner on the Wild Side menu November 16th through the 22nd. And I'm wondering, John Ash wrote this great book called Cooking Wild, more than 150 recipes for eating close to nature. And this is kind of continuing the celebration as John Ash and Company turns 40 years.
Yeah, that's why we decided to do something like that. I know when I started 12 years ago, they had been doing the Wild Game Week every year, and I did it a couple of times, and it just didn't take on so much. We thought this year, in remembrance of all the Wild Game Weeks we've done in John's cookbook, we'd do a Wild Game or Wild Side Week, not just game, but we have pheasant breast, we've got elk, we have Liberty ducks, which aren't really wild, but, you know, ducks are hard to get wild ducks, but they're really, you know, more in the wild gamey flavor. We have wild huckleberries and sea buckthorns and lingonberries and stuff like that. So everything's a good mixture of stuff. We have two choices of menus to choose from. So it'll be a fun week.
So can I ask you, you have a long history. Well, actually, you lived in and had a restaurant in Germany. And in that part of the world, game is much more prevalent, I think, than it is in the States.
Well, for sure. I mean, I'd even get a lot of hunters would come by and sell it to me. I could buy that, you know, fresh deer or a beautiful wild doves and what else? Did wild ducks and everything. And people loved it there. And I could sell it easier. Where here, it just doesn't seem like as wanted as in Europe or in Germany, for sure. A lot of our customers, you know, were hunters. And it's also a taste of it. My wife comes from Germany, and she always says, the venison here is not quite as, you know, flavorful as the venison in Europe. Mm-hmm. She's correct. It's a lot of stuff that gets here farmed. I get the venison will be from Broken Arrow Ranch in Texas, which is thousands and thousands of acres. So the animals are technically wild because they're roaming all year long, but they're in cage somehow that they don't, you know, escape to the next state, I guess. But it's beautiful, tender, flavorful meat, but not quite as intense in flavor as the European ones that I've had.
And that's the Broken Arrow Ranch elk loin scallopini with dandelion greens,
exactly,
with roasted garlic, soft red Floriani polenta. I was interested in the start of the Chanterelle cream soup. That's kind of isn't that a favorite of chefs, John, that beautiful golden color and how versatile it is? And I understand that there's a lot more Chanterelles after the first rain.
Yes.
So is it possible that we'll see more Chanterelles showing up on menus?
I think so.
They should for sure. Really, it started. These are more from the northwest, so the Oregon and Washington, because the ones here haven't started, but now with the rains that just happened, they'll start popping up for sure, and then we'll get the really local. Mendocino County, for sure, will start coming in, and lobster, mushrooms, and other ones. But Chanterelles are one of my favorites for sure. I thought a nice yellow hue for a nice soup would be something good, and I'm adding a little bit of pickled Chanterelles to give a little bit of acidity to the soup.
That's really nice.
It would be, you know, something nice to have.
And as you mentioned, the other starter is the grapevine smoked Liberty duck breast salad. Then the entrees, we talked about the elk loin scallopini or the roasted breast of pheasant. Now that's something pheasant you don't see on menus.
Well, it's also not easy to cook, don't you think, Tom? It dries out.
It's hard. It's not it's pretty lean meat. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to get the breast. We did a practice last night, and we were all very happy with it. I make being in Germany for 20 years, I make a beautiful, like a sauerkraut with a little bit of pineapple juice in it. So it's a sweet sauerkraut. Mm-hmm. And I roast it and bake it in the oven for like an hour to 2 hours, so like it's really tender. And then I'm going to make large crepes that I fill with like mashed potatoes that have truffles in them, and make a roulade out of that, and saute those in butter along with it. It's a really great accompaniment. I've done that a couple times over the years since I've been at John Ash, and it seems to be a favorite there. And so it'll be nice, a nice flavor to it. And then we'd make a demi from the pheasant bones and add a little truffle to that too. So,
and in your book,
that'll be a decadent meal.
And in your book, John, you do the roasted pheasant stuffed with wild rice. Mm-hmm. I noticed in the book. And then for desserts, here's something that I had to look up: sea buckthorn and yogurt panna cotta. I had heard of sea buckthorn, but I couldn't have told you what it looked like until I printed out a color photo, and it's glorious. Why did you choose
beautiful.
That?
Yeah. Just because of the acidity of it, and then because people don't know about it. They're, you know, very special little berries, and they have a nice tartness to them and a beautiful yellow hue that I thought I'd use that. And then, of course, in the wild huckleberries that we're using for the other dessert, those are more local from Mendocino County.
So the sea buckthorn, are those frozen, or they come from Canada? Where do you get those from?
Those come from Canada, yeah, at the moment. They came frozen. They're little just individually frozen berries. From Canada, Saskatchewan, and they have a beautiful tart flavor.
Those are wild. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we give away a couple signed copies of John Ash's Cooking Wild, more than 150 recipes
great.
For eating close to nature. So, Thomas, would you give us your two favorite numbers between 1 and 12?
1 and 12. I'll say first 9.
Okay.
And then 3.
Callers number 9 and 3 at 636-1350 will win an autographed copy of John Ash's Cooking Wild cookbook. Callers number 9 and 3 at 636-1350, and we'll send these books directly to you so you can start cooking wild. How's that sound? Mm.
Sounds good.
Hey, best of luck on the Thanksgiving. Best of luck on the wild, cooking wild dinner that you're doing this week.
Yeah, that should be fun. I mean, we open every night anyway, and we've been pretty busy, even with the rain. And I was surprised how many people go out with the cold and the rain. They just want to, you know, get out of the house, I guess. So we're there every day of the week. So,
well, don't you think the restaurant, because it has overhangs and lots of areas for people to kind of hide outside, it's really nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, with the outside seating that we put up, the last month, to say, it's beautiful. It's like sitting somewhere in the south of France some days, with the vineyards right, you know, within reach, and the beautiful lighting at night. As it was warm back a month ago, we were doing, you know, some nights 200 people, because we have so much space to put up. But, you know, and it'll still be good. We have the terrace, which is, has a roof over its head. So that's, you know, with heaters, that's warm. And it's just when it gets so cold, so chilly, so quick in the evening, it's a little bit trying, but people, you know, dress warm and, you know, bring a blanket with you if you need to. We have some extra ones too, and, you know, wear your big moon boots or whatever you need to wear to keep your feet warm.
Chef Thomas Schmidt, thanks so much for joining us from John Ash and Company.
Okay.
Good talking with you. And that sounds great, that dinner on the wild side, November 16th through the 22nd. We'll take a break and we'll come back with one of the reigning royalties of turkey production in California, the Diestel family, Heidi Diestel, joining us for a holiday turkey update.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving.
Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
This is Austin from More Home Services. The other day, somebody said, "I hear you on the radio all the time. You make it sound like More Home Services always does everything right. Surely nobody's perfect. Do you ever mess up?" Of course we do. We run over 12,000 service calls a year. And despite the best planning, the best systems, the friendliest, most talented, and best trained people, sometimes things just don't go as planned. But I'll make you an ironclad promise. We will always make it right. Our 100% right or 100% free guarantee says that if you're not happy, you don't pay. It's just that simple. It's total peace of mind. Life happens, problems happen, but with More Home Services 100% right or 100% free guarantee, if anything goes wrong, we'll do whatever it takes to make it right. I promise. Give us a call at 707-505-8000, or you can find us online at morehomeservices.com.
Each spring, colorful poppies bloom throughout Sonoma County. Plant a few seeds and poppies will grow and continue to spread. Poppy Bank has also grown, and each satisfied customer spreads the word, leading to thousands more. For businesses, Poppy Bank can tailor a package of products and services to easily meet your specific needs. Online at poppy.bank, the largest commercial bank in Sonoma County. We do what is needed to help your business blossom.
Kickstart your career at Grayton Resort and Casino in Rohnert Park. Enroll in free bartender school today. Get great pay, amazing benefits, and flexible scheduling. Apply now at GraytonResortCasino.com and click careers.
I'm KSRO's Dale Tresillos with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Partly cloudy for today, high of 62, 57 along the coast. Cloudy skies overnight, low 42, 41 on the shores. Warmer spots just going to be in the mid-60s for today. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, high of 64, 59 in Bodega Bay. Monday, mostly cloudy, temps around 70, 60s on the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, and this will be our 34th Thanksgiving celebrated on the air since 1987, but we've never had a Thanksgiving quite like this.
No, no.
A lot of people are shifting as far as what their Thanksgiving plans are. They did a Gallup poll, and 70% of Americans said they're not sure how they're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, who with and what they're going to have. But well, I bet most of them are going to have turkey still.
And we're, you know, being encouraged to not have big blowout buffets and things like that. So
what is this going to mean for the turkey producers of America? Well, let's find out by welcoming Heidi Diestel to the show. Hi, Heidi, and welcome. Nice to have you on the show today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Our pleasure. We were mildly shocked when it was announced that our beloved Willie Bird turkey had been sold this past spring and summer to the Diestel family. And we all were, oh my gosh, what does this mean? But Diestel is a very well-known brand here in Sonoma County. A lot of higher-end supermarkets carry it. And we learned that Diestel has been around since the middle of the last century, since 1949, 1950, selling turkeys, and that you and the Benedetti family were on very friendly terms and shared a lot of the same values.
Yeah, definitely. Yep, that's all correct. We were really, really honored, in fact, to work with the Benedetti family and, yeah, acquire the Willie Bird brand, but really keep it alive in the spirit of Willie himself.
So you're going to be selling Willie Bird turkeys, even though they come from this amalgamation now of the two companies, but the brand will still exist.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to keep the brand alive. The store is still open there on Highway 12, and we're going to continue to keep Willie's kind of legacy. You know, he was really well known through the valley there and just loved by so many, and including our family. We were always really friendly competitors throughout the years, as you know, Willie Bird, you know, kind of stood for his own set of products. And, you know, for our family, it's just, Willie did things so differently. He had so many delicious recipes, and his smoked products are just legendary. And so, you know, we really see them different. And, we just really want to honor what he created, you know, and carry on what he really started. It needs to live beyond him.
Did you pursue an organic certification years ago when that was becoming very popular?
Yeah, we did. So my family, the Diestel family, was was growing turkeys in Sonora, which is in Tuolumne County, just a few hours away from Sonoma there, in the 20s and 30s. And my grandpa actually started Diestel Turkey Ranch in 1949. So we had always had kind of a no antibiotic, you know, kind of, if you will, free range program, when in my grandpa's day. And then in 1999 was the first year that you could actually label certified organic, which is kind of crazy to think about, because it's not that far along, you know. And so, yeah, we had an organic bird as of 1999.
So what does it mean to be organic?
Yeah, so certified organic comes with a whole swath of gotta haves, if you will. It's highly regulated, so you have a certified organic regulating third party audit, and then you have the USDA kind of cross checking and referencing all of that. So, kind of the basics of what it means to be certified organic. First and foremost is outdoor access. That is part of, so the birds have the ability to go outside. That's part of certified organic. Non-GMO product verified, non-GMO seeds, corn and soy seeds as grain, as well as it being certified organic. These two things must be the case for the feed that the turkeys eat. There's no chemical or pesticide residue on that corn and soy. So it's a very, kind of clean, if you will, process, chemical-free, process there. So those are kind of the key differentiators between and no antibiotics ever to a certified organic. And of course, I should start that certified organic always is no antibiotics ever as well.
Okay. How are you shifting with the changing demand for different sized turkeys? I mean, obviously, you start planning for this Thanksgiving last year, I would guess, about how many birds you're going to grow out.
Yeah, we did. And that was, so I guess in a way, being a small producer, being a smaller producer, I should say, we have our program, and Willie was this way as well, is that we had a lot of different breeds of turkeys. And, when we talk about breeds in turkey farming, it's not as romantic as, Wagyu beef or, Berkshire, hogs or something like this. We don't have all these really fun names, but it does mean that the birds are very size specific. And so the turkeys are raised to maturity to hit the naturally intended weight that they should be. So most commodity producers, they'll take one breed and they'll raise it to be large or they'll raise it to be small. In a Willie or a Diestel program, we're going to have a variety of breeds from small to large that are going to fill all of these weight ranges. So we did have most of our placements and, most of our, farm set, there really wasn't much we could do. But because we have all of these unique breeds, we are able actually to run more smaller turkeys in any given year than most producers, because we're kind of skewed that way anyway. Uh-huh. So for us, we were, we've had a few hiccups here and there, but we've been able to accommodate the shift in demand pretty well, better than I think some of our more conventional and commodity counterparts.
I see. But so have you noticed an increase in people wanting to order more 10 to 12, 14 pound birds at retail rather than the larger
yes.
birds?
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, some of these sizes, I mean, so, you know, some of these sizes, as you know, most folks will find out, are, you know, going to be sold out or very quickly sold out, right? The basically from about 10 pounds to 16, 18 pounds. This is like the sweet spot of the demand. 18 pounds, 20 pounds, you know, 22, 24s, we still are seeing some demand. It's not like it's not there, but it's much less, much, much less.
So here's a question for you. How do you cook a turkey?
Why don't we give Heidi, we're going to give you, I know you've never been asked this question before, so we want to give you a few minutes to think about this. We're going to break and we'll come right back and give us some of your favorite ways to cook turkeys when we return.
And what to serve with it.
And your favorite side dishes. I mean, you're a fourth generation grower. I'm sure grandma and great grandma had some great recipes that you're still probably using.
I've got some for you.
Okay. Heidi Diestel from Diestel Turkeys, who recently purchased our beloved Willie Bird turkey, but it sounds like they're not going to change a thing in our beloved turkey. Steve Garner, Chef John Ash in the KS Arto Kitchen. One of you lucky listeners will win a holiday Diestel turkey in just a few minutes.
Windsor, here's FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Like to read? Then listen to this chilling story from a Sonoma County author.
When I was 4 years old, I was at my great-grandmother Graciana's house in Southern California. She was in the kitchen cooking, and I was playing. But when she came into the living room to check on me, I was standing there holding a loaded German Luger. What was my grandmother doing with a German Luger in her nightstand? This is the story of a young Basque girl who went looking for work in Paris as she followed her dream to get to America. But the occupation got in the way. She was drawn into the war, her sister torn from her, and Graciana was forced to make impossible life and death decisions. Stay on track to her American dream? Run away from the war with the men in her life? Or stay and fight? My name is Trini Amador. Graciana was my great-grandmother. This is her story.
Get your signed copy of this book at Graciana Winery in Healdsburg.
If you're a PG&E wildfire survivor and a current client of the Watts Guerra Law Firm, you've probably started your claim. But if you haven't, we're making it easy to get started. You can get started by going to pgelawsuit.com or by phone, by Zoom, or come into our new COVID-compliant office to meet with your legal team while maintaining social distancing. It's at 1001 West College Avenue in Santa Rosa. And if you're a victim of the Kincaid Fire, you can come into the Watts Guerra office at 1001 West College and sign up as a client and make your claim. Or visit pgelawsuit.com. The team at the Watts Guerra Law Firm are here to help. pgelawsuit.com. Advertisement. Doug Boxer of the Law Office of Douglas Boxer is the attorney responsible for the content of this advertisement.
More people are game room shopping at Buffalo Billiards in Petaluma. Make the most of your family time with a new pool table by Brunswick or Olhausen, or get a great deal on a previously played pool table. We have a lot more than pool tables when it comes to outfitting your personal game room. Card tables, foosball tables, we even have shuffleboards. Take a trip to Petaluma and see for yourself, or shop online at buffalo-billiards.com. Buffalo Billiards, where we put the family in the family room.
In the KS Arto Kitchen, Steve Garner and Chef John Ash, and we're talking turkey with a woman that knows an awful lot about turkeys, and it's not Mrs. Butterball. I'll tell you that. It's Heidi Diestel from the Diestel Turkey family. By the way, I want to remind our listeners that this portion of the KS Arto Good Food Hour is brought to you by Graciana Winery, located on Westside Road in Healdsburg. Great wines, great tasting room, and a great family. Enjoy their hospitality. So, Heidi, we're going to get some of your favorite ways to prepare turkey and some of your favorite sides. But first, what did you make of the heritage breed movement that really started peaking a few years back? Of people were done with the broad-breasted. They wanted something bigger and more authentic. It seemed, John and I were talking off the air, to kind of lost its momentum.
Yeah, I think it has. You know, the heritage movement is really unique and it's very neat. I mean, it's a neat program in the fact that, you know, it's preservation of very old genetic lines of turkeys. And, you know, the slow foods groups movements have, you know, coined kind of, you know, half a dozen or so different breeds that are part of this heritage. But, you know, our family raised some true heritage turkeys, and it is a personal preference. We didn't love them. And, you know, since we're family-owned and operated, we kind of decided not to raise any. So we actually use old genetic lines, but we've crossbred them to have what we call is an heirloom varietal in the diesel line. So it's an heirloom. So it has that really old-fashioned flavor, very, like, just much more rich and complex. It's absolutely delicious. But it has kind of that more, you know, better meat-to-bone ratio that everyone's kind of looking for and that I think shoppers really appreciate is, you know, kind of more meat. And so I think that heritage, if you're looking for one of those, good on you. Go grab it. It's very unique, but I don't know that it's been a really lasting, strong, super strong trend.
Heidi, I'm going to ask you now for your favorite number between 1 and 12, and that number, that lucky caller, is going to win a Diesel turkey, which they can pick up at the Willie Bird Turkey Store on Highway 12 in Santa Rosa. Your favorite number, please.
Between 1 and 12?
Yep.
I think we got to go 12. I mean, we're Highway 12.
61350 will win their own personal Diesel holiday Thanksgiving turkey. And now, your favorite way to make turkey.
Okay. So I'm sure that this is, you know, this we could have a lot of callers calling in about this topic. But I like to do this. This is my favorite way. Low and slow, okay, so a very low and slow, even cooking, and very, very simple. And when I say very simple, I mean it. Like a salt, paprika, olive oil rub that you put on the turkey, put a little broth or stock, homemade preferably, in the bottom of the pan, and pop that turkey in the oven for a very low and slow roasting.
So
this is my favorite way.
What temperature?
So I like to go with 325.
Okay.
You can go lower if you have more time, but, you know, I like to go 325, and I do stuff. We are stuffers. It's just we're old school, but my grandpa's still alive. He's 94 years old, and we're not going to not stuff a turkey, so we stuff.
So well, we've had lots of arguments on the show about stuffing versus dressing, you know, dressing being outside the bird, stuffing inside the bird. So we don't need to revisit those.
Oh, are you a baster or a non-baster?
We are non-basters.
Non-basters.
Yeah, I know. All controversial. I understand.
And do you ever,
I know the struggle.
Do you ever grill smoke turkey? That's one of our favorite ways.
We definitely do. We definitely grill smoke. However, if we do that, we will do it with like whole breast meat, you know, pieces of breast meat, skin on, or we will spatchcock the turkey, which that terminology is where you take the back out and you lay the turkey flat. This is the best way we have found to kind of like, you know, do it on your smoker or your grill.
Well, Heidi's right on our wavelength, isn't she, John?
Yeah.
Very remarkable. And maybe some of your favorite side dishes, either from mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. What are ones that are always on the table?
Yeah. So, again, we like to keep it really, really simple. So we're going with just like a really nice roasted garlic mashed potato. We have a very simple green salad. You know, of course, we've got homemade gravy is a must. I mean, that's just necessary. It's so easy to make gravy too. And then homemade cranberry relish. This is also kind of a staple, but we'll probably do some type of greens, like a green bean dish, you know, with some slivered almonds and caramelized onions, something like this. But that's it, you guys. I mean, it's really, really simple.
So do you include recipes on your website?
We do. We have quite a few. So we give some good old-fashioned recipes just, you know, for roasting. And then we have lots of different, of course, turkey recipes. And don't forget the leftover recipes, which I think are, like, equally as important as the day of recipes.
Yeah, we always do a show on the leftover show, we call it, the following Saturday after Thanksgiving. And you missed one of the most important parts, Heidi, dessert.
Oh, golly, yes, isn't this the case? So my grandma always makes a lemon meringue pie for dessert, and this is something that has become kind of a staple.
So lemon meringue pie, doesn't matter what else, that's always on the table.
That's always on the table, yes. I think, you know, sometimes we like to have a little bit of fun with dessert, but lemon meringue pie, that's always going to be on the table. Well, I guess I should clarify, lemon meringue pie is on the table as well as whiskey bread pudding with a whiskey sauce. That is also on the table.
We got that out of her. Thank you for spending this 20 minutes with us. It's been wonderful talking with you. The Willie Bird Turkey Store is still open and operational on Highway 12 for people to pick up their turkeys, right? Do orders through there. And of course,
yes, please. We have a phenomenal team out there. Many of the gals that have worked when Willie was around. So please head out there, call in your order today, and that lucky winner will get a Willie Bird turkey over there.
Beautiful.
So very fun.
And we do have a winner. That caller number 12 is going to be a great Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us. A wonderful meeting you via the phone, and hopefully we'll talk again, Heidi.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support.
Our pleasure. Heidi Diestel, welcome to the community. Back after this.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
West Santa Rosa has a new farmer's market. El Mercadito Market in Roseland Village, Thursdays 2 to 6 and Sundays 11 to 3. Shop fruit from Rojas Family Farm, including red and green grapes, persimmons, Asian pears, pomegranates, and oranges. Ortiz Brothers has beautiful flowers, zucchini, summer squash, cauliflower, and broccoli. Gourmet Growers features Sonoma-grown mushrooms. Myriad Coffee is pouring hot coffee and locally handmade agua frescas. Briarton Almonds has a variety of sweet and savory roasted almonds. In partnership with Meatote Food Park, there'll be 3 to 4 food trucks each week. Together, let's keep our farmers markets open for our community by social distancing, wearing masks, and washing hands. If you find yourself in a line at the market, do your best to move the line away from the aisle. That's the all-new Farmers Market in Roseland Village, Thursdays 2 to 6 and Sundays 11 to 3. More info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Montgomery Village has the perfect way to get you into the holidays. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, come shopping and save. Montgomery Village's stores will be celebrating early with fabulous prices during this pre-holiday sales event. Stores will be showcasing their gift ideas beautifully displayed and ready to wrap. It's the perfect time to get started on your holiday shopping list. During this 3-day sale, you'll find the best selections of holiday gifts, the latest in fashions for the entire family, jewelry and accessories, home decor, bath and shower gels, bed linens, and more. It's all at Montgomery Village, and it's on sale. This Friday through Sunday is the perfect time to get all your gift shopping wrapped up early so you can relax and really enjoy the holidays. Montgomery Village, conveniently located on Farmers Lane and Highway 12 in Santa Rosa. Wrap up your shopping this holiday season at Montgomery Village's pre-holiday sale.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It is the KSRO Good Food Hour with Steve Garner, Chef John Ash. Thank you so much for listening. And next week, listeners, we're opening the phones to you. We want to know what side dishes, the desserts, that you can't live without, no matter what kind of Thanksgiving you're going to end up doing. So next Saturday, how about that, John?
Sounds great.
Okay. Good listening continues after the news with Clark Wolf at the table. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.